But turn with me again to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we will read these familiar words beginning at verse 11 through to 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 11. And Jehovah speaking, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says Jehovah, and I will bring you back from your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Jehovah. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Well, you will recall from our reading that this whole chapter is a letter that Jeremiah writes to the captives who were taken from their land and taken to Babylon. So Jeremiah is left in the land along with the poor and the disaffected people of God, but the best in the land have been carried away to Babylon. And these words in this chapter are given to Jeremiah through Jehovah to give the people of God direction for the present and promise them a glorious future. And you will agree that these words are needed words for the people of God of all times, and especially in our times. And Jeremiah begins in this chapter, which paints a time of great devastation in Israel. I've already told you, and you will well remember from the reading of the chapter, that Babylonians have devastated Judah and taken many into captivity. And the people left in Jerusalem, and the poor and the needy and those whom the Babylonians were not particularly interested in. You might have heard of the term brain drain. In modern times, many people from different parts of the world, the best of the people in by and large, at least in the early stages of migration to the West, would leave their own countries and come to the West where there is opportunities and freedom and so on. But almost all of them, well, all of that entirely was by their own free will. But this is completely the reverse. The Babylonians have marched into Israel, or the southern kingdom, what is left of Israel, devastated them, completely devastated the temple of God and Jerusalem, and then transported the best of the people 800 miles away, which is a long way in those days when the fastest you could go is by foot. Maybe soldiers and those who had horses, but not like today, by planes or even trains. It's a long way away. And it's not only a devastating time, It's a very confusing time. Because you see, the children of Israel would have been confused by what God is doing in their midst and to them. Remember, the children of Israel were constituted from Abraham and according to the promise that Jehovah had made to Abraham, that I will give you a land and I will make you a great people. But what we have now is that the land has been devastated, the people have been devastated, and they have been taken away. And so the people of God are devastated and confused. Well, things are in a state that the people of God could not even begin to imagine. And it is at such a time that Jehovah, speaking through Jeremiah, instructs the exiles what to do at the present time and what to do in the future, or what to hope for in the future. So we want to look at first and foremost what they were to do in the present circumstances, the circumstances of devastation and the circumstance when the people of God are confused about what God is doing. Completely against the promises of God, as he had promised Abraham and the following generations. So what does he do as far as advice for these devastated and confused people? Remember, they're in Babylon. And what are they to do under such circumstances? Well, first and foremost, the Lord tells them that they are to settle down in their present place of exile. Verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 29, we read these words, "For thus says Jehovah of hosts." So this is in the letter that Jeremiah is writing to the people who are in a faraway land, who've lost their possessions. They're not a free people anymore, under the oppression of the Babylonians. And Jehovah says through Jeremiah's prophet, "For thus says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you." Isn't that amazing? Even now, under these devastating conditions, there are a host of prophets among the people of God and diviners or foretellers deceiving the people of God. And how are they deceiving them? Well, we have it, as you will be aware, right throughout the prophecy of Jeremiah, deceivers among the people of God. Jeremiah is prophesying exile, as did the prophets before him, even right in the time of Moses, many hundreds of years before this. Moses predicts this. But as the time draws closer, God sends his prophets rising up early and prophesying to the people that there will be a devastation of the land of Judah and they will be taken and scattered all over the world. But in the midst of this, there is a group of prophets and foretellers who are deceiving the people of God. And what are they saying? Well, for example, in the 14th verse of Jeremiah chapter 6, this is what they do. First of all, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. This is the first thing that false prophets and false preachers and false ministers do. They cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. And they speak soothing words. And they say, and they heal the hurt of God's people slightly. In other words, superficially. In verse 11 of Jeremiah chapter 8, this is further explained. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The situation is bad. But these people are saying, have a positive attitude. Everything will be fine. It's not going to be as bad as you think. They're saying, peace, peace, when there is nothing but devastation and confusion. And the people of God are in exile. There is another deception that these prophets are perpetrating. Within the confines of God's own people. In the chapter before this, this is what one of the false prophets says in verse 3, chapter 28 in verse 3. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of Jehovah's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. You know what's taken place, of course, during the Babylonian attack on Jerusalem and Judah. They brought down the temple. They took away all the vessels and took them away into Babylon. And so these false prophets are saying, don't worry about Jeremiah and his prophecy about 70 years in exile. He says, within 2 years, these vessels will be brought back and the temple worship will be reinstituted. So you see how these people are deceiving the people of God. But Jeremiah, or through Jeremiah, the Lord Jehovah says that the exile will last 70 years. They are to settle down. We have it from verse 5 and following, verse 4 and following. He says, build houses and dwell in them. Take wives and beget sons. So the advice of Jehovah in the midst of all this is not to listen to the false positive attitudes of those prophets who are not sent by Jehovah, but to settle down, because this is going to be the condition of the people of Israel for the next 70 years. He says, settle down and live normal lives, beget sons and daughters. But he goes further. Look at verse 7. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to Jehovah for it. For in its peace you will have peace. In other words, he says, work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon, while their own people and their own land and their own temple is devastated. And so the Lord gives them advice for the present. This is a very difficult thing to do in difficult times, isn't it? When you think of what the Church of Jesus Christ is going through, when you think of churches diminishing in attendance, in commitment, in numbers, but doubtless there are churches that are blessed with not only workable but large numbers, but they're far and few between. And it is exactly the same kind of situation that we see in Jeremiah's day, where God's people are. And it's disheartening, it's discouraging. Remember Psalm 139, where they are in Babylon, and the people of Babylon ask them to sing to them the songs of Zion. And the people of God say, how can we sing when we are captives in Babylon? When the whole promises of God seems to have been shattered, not by God's unfaithfulness, but their own unfaithfulness to Jehovah their God. And now upon them have come these devastating circumstances. And here the people of God are in a foreign land. And Jehovah's advice for the current is to settle down and to live as normal a life as you possibly can. In the midst of your confusion and your devastation. And at the same time, to seek the prosperity of Babylon. And to pray for them. For thus says Jehovah of hosts. Verse 7, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Just imagine that. They were free men in a free land, the land of promise, and here they are in a foreign land, captive, and the Lord Jehovah says, seek the prosperity of the city. And you cannot seek the prosperity of the city without seeking the prosperity of your captors. And then he says, pray to Jehovah for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. This is the universal direction of the scriptures and the God of the scriptures to the people of God. Here's the Apostle Paul writing many centuries later to Timothy saying, 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I wonder how this advice strikes you. But this is the universal direction of the scriptures. Or the God of the scriptures to the people of God. That when we find ourselves in a difficult situation, we have to first and foremost acknowledge that it is God who has allowed the situation into our lives. And we are not to be frantic. We are not to be anxious. We are not to be rebellious. But we have to settle down, conduct life as normally as possible, and work for the peace and prosperity of the place that we are in. And in our situation, we seek the peace and the prosperity of this land, and to pray for its leaders and its people, so that in its peace, we will find peace to live a godly life. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. Lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. See, no matter where we are or what condition we are in, we can live to God, seeking the peace and prosperity of the place and the nation and the peoples who are around us, and seeking to live godly, and also calling upon God for the salvation of souls. And then, thirdly, at the same time, the Lord Jehovah gives them a glimpse of the very heart of God for his people. Now look at verse 11 again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Jehovah. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. So what is Jehovah doing here? He's bearing his heart. He is first of all saying that in the midst of all your difficult situation, in the midst of the devastation that has come upon the land of Canaan and Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, you're not to lose hope, because Jehovah himself who has allowed all these things to come to pass and to come upon the people of God have thoughts of peace, meaning prosperity, for his people. And that with a view to give them a future and a hope. Now, what does this look like in the context of what is being promised here to the exiles in Jerusalem? Remember, this is going to be about 70 years. Almost all the adults who've been taken captives will die in exile. It's only the children and the very young that are likely to return. And even the children will be old men and women if they do return. It's a new generation, by and large, that will return. But you see, in the meantime, if they give themselves to obeying God and submitting to his word and work for the peace and prosperity in the place of their captivity, then God will sustain them and strengthen them and prosper them. And we have great examples of them, don't we, in the exile. Remember Daniel. Remember his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And although they're the only ones mentioned, there will be hundreds and thousands of Jews in exile in Babylon who would have been blessed by Jehovah. And it's the same for us. No matter what the circumstances are for the church, if we submit to God, and as we sang in that hymn, humbly, seek his face and follow his pattern for the life of believers, then God can sustain us and prosper us in the circumstances in which he has placed us. And no one is going to say that Daniel was a failure, even though he sorrowed over the fact that he was wrenched from the land of promise and taken to a foreign land. Same with his other godly friends who are named, and many hundreds and thousands who have not been named. It's exactly what happens, isn't it? Many hundreds of years later, when we read of Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, the times were difficult. An Edomite, or as they say, Edomian, was on the throne. Herod, the Herod family. Wicked kings. There was no king in Israel. The land did not really belong to them. They were brought back to the land, but they're under Roman oppression. There's no king, and the high priests were corrupt. But you notice how we are told that Zechariah and Elizabeth obeyed God and were righteous and obeyed the commandments of God. You see, unless we keep this in mind, and unless we follow this pattern, even if we are God's people, we are likely to be more confused and devastated than to settle into what God's will is for us in the present. That's for the present. But the Lord, through Jeremiah, not only speaks to them about the present, He sets a glorious future before them. Not a glorious future simply in terms of this life for people like Daniel and his generation, because they're never going to come back. But you see, there is an eternal hope and a future for Daniel in the very presence of God after death, and then later on at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And God's people are to keep these two things in mind, the present and the future, the eternal good. As far as Judah and Israel are concerned, they themselves, another generation, is going to come back. You see, it is God who is at work, because he takes all things and works them together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. You see, whenever we are discouraged about the situation and the condition that we find ourselves, let's remember God's advice to us through Jeremiah and according to the Apostle Paul, that we are to settle down in the circumstances in which God has placed us and to continue to live as normal a life as possible, but in obedience and service and worship to our God. And we have to remember that he has allowed these things, has bared his very heart to us. For he says, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts for the peace and prosperity of your soul, both now and for all time. Now, we know the heart of God supremely, do we not, as we look at what he did to give his only begotten Son. He who did not spare his only Son, but has delivered him up for us all freely, how will he not also give us all things? In our current and small and meager situation, I trust that the Lord will direct us in our life today, that we will not be confused or merely sit in hopelessness, but continue like Daniel and his friends, and like Zechariah and Elizabeth, and be patient and content that God has all things in hand. Remember, this has always been the condition of God's people by and large. If you read through Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were pilgrims, never obtained the promises in its fullness. But they continued looking for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And finally, the Lord Jehovah instructs through Jeremiah the measure and the means of spiritual prosperity. So this is a promise in which the Lord calls us to exercise ourselves. Look at verse 12 and following. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, and when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says Jehovah. And I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Jehovah. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. What is the Lord Jehovah saying here? Well, it's plain and simple, isn't it? That we must continue in the circumstances he has placed us in. That we must remember that God will accomplish his glorious purposes for us. But we're not to be satisfied with simply living life at the level of the meager existence of the promises that God has promised to his people. He says we are to call upon him. We are to pray to him. We are to seek the fulfillment of his promises with all our heart. And when we do that, he will bless us in our current situation and bring us home into his very presence. Here, of course, he's speaking in terms of the history of the children of Israel, that he would bring them back to the land of promise, and he did. But of course, that was for a limited time and in the old dispensation, or the old economy of God's ancient people. For the New Testament believers, we're all pilgrims in a foreign land. But God promises that if we settle down, we seek the peace and prosperity of the place that we have been placed in. And remember, God will bring us home to his eternal dwelling place. We sang that hymn, Jerusalem the golden, with milk and honey blessed. That's the promised land that God has promised to us. Not little Israel. With all the blessings that God had promised for the children of Israel, and which he fulfilled, as Solomon tells us. But he's bringing in a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem, wherein righteousness dwells. And all this is because God has determined, Jehovah has determined, to bless a people who look to him, who are called by his name, who pray to him. How does the Lord Jesus put it? Will he not quickly bring justice for his elect who call upon him day and night? And so let us take this word to heart. Whenever we are discouraged, whenever we are wondering what's taking place, whenever we are confused, there should be no confusion of this fact that we are to behave and to conduct ourselves in a godly manner and look for the prosperity and the peace of the place and the peoples who are around us. Pray for them and trust that God will bring all the blessings that he has promised his people to pass in his own sovereign time. And may the Lord, by his Spirit, impress upon us that we are to glory in the promise of the heart of God for us, that he will bless us, because that's what it is, what is settled in his heart. I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of blessing. May that bring us joy and stability when we are discouraged. And at the same time, may the Lord encourage us to call upon him, to pray to him, to seek him with all our hearts, individually and collectively. So may the Lord help us. This is the Spirit's word to us through Jeremiah, to us and to all of God's people for all time. May we take hold of it and be encouraged in difficult times. Amen. Let's sing in response hymn number 813. Give me wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above. How great their joys, how bright their glories be.